Praise the Lord. What wonderful worship we've had today. The worship, the singing, the music helps set the stage for what Jesus wants to do. When we worship, he comes in. And you know, it's so wonderful that we can come to him just as we are. Some people jump. Some people raise their hands. Some people weep. Some people run the aisles sometimes. Some people stand still in his presence. He sees your heart. He loves you. It's amazing. You can't do anything that will make him stop loving you. Every human in your life, you could do something that maybe they would love you, but they'd have to set boundaries. Or maybe they would stop loving you. But not Jesus. Don't you love him today? This is our Wisconsin home. We lived here 8 years, but I was coming here, as has been said, many years before that. I have 2 daughters, 2 son-in-laws, and 7 grandchildren here. 2 were on the platform today. But, you know, someone said, well, that's why you come. No. I was coming here a long time before any of that ever happened. And a lot of you are just like my kids, my family. I give honor today to Pastor Peter, Sister Casey. What an awesome power couple. God has set them aside for such a time as this. And I love them. Former Pastor Roy Grant, Lois, their family, I love you. My little brother will always be my little brother. I finally taught him not to say big sister, to say older sister. We had to have a conversation about that. In the pulpit every year with my big sister. He should know by now how that works. This is our 55th church this year. So we're not slowing down yet. Lord willing, he's going to keep us going and giving us strength until he comes. Today, there's a legacy in this church, a legacy from Elder Grant down to this moment. And what a legacy, the families that are here, the strength. If you are new, I want to get to know you today. I've asked the Lord to help me find favor with you because we don't have time to get to know each other well. But you are in a wonderful place. Just stay around here. You're family. You're officially family now. That's what this church does. Appreciate the ministry team of this church. Sister Fiona made me a basket. There were things in there that Brother Vernon loved, things that I loved, and it was just absolutely over the top. Thank you. And we're just thankful to be with you. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles today. We are going to go to a scripture that is familiar to most, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And then we'll read one more portion, and then you'll be able to be seated for a little while. Let's have fun today. Smile. Remember, it looks scary up here when you're not smiling. You look like you don't want to be here. We're only together for just a little bit. And God's going to do great things today. If you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost yet, today is your day. He's going to fill you. Men, women, and children. If you need a refilling, today's your day. If you haven't been baptized, today's your day. The water's ready. And if you need a miracle, today is your day. Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I don't want to take that road that leads to destruction. I want to take the narrow road that leads to eternal life in heaven with Jesus. I know you do too. Hebrews chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receiveth a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's not let it slip. Let's take earnest heed today to what we've heard. Pastor preached a message about the Holy Ghost last week. You heard it. You were here. You heard it. You got to have the Holy Ghost to go up when he comes. This scripture's urging us to find that narrow pathway today, to take earnest heed to the things you've heard and get ready. Jesus is coming. That's what's happening all around us in our world. The world is in chaos, but they're having revival everywhere. College campuses, all over the place, people are praying and seeking God because there is no hope in any other. Amen. Today, for your hearing, hold on to the rope. Hold on to the rope. Tell your neighbor, hold on to the rope. And you may be seated. I hear little children saying, hold on to the rope. This message should appeal to anyone in this building because, as you know me, I'm a very simple girl with a simple message. Hold on to the rope. I give honor today to my pastor, Brother Sullivan. He knows I'm here. And to my precious husband, Ben Vernon. Pastor, I'm going to step into your anointing today. I give you honor. Hold on to the rope. This message is about mountain climbing. I am not a mountain climber. But Jesus gave me this message as an illustration, an analogy. Because what's happening that we do not realize is that we have started a journey, most of us in this building, perhaps all of us, with Jesus. Life is like climbing a mountain. You see, down at the bottom of the mountain is the world where everyone is. And everyone has to make a choice. Do I want to make it to the top, which is heaven? Because there's no other alternative. You're either going up with Jesus when he comes or when you die, or you're going down with the devil to an eternal lake of fire. So we have a choice. Everyone has a choice. No one can make anyone climb the mountain. You can choose to stay down at the bottom of the mountain in the world, and there is a lot of struggle and strife, and it's without the Lord. Or you can begin this journey. How do we begin the journey? Well, when we come to Jesus, and you'll see me open this pulpit, those of you that are on the sides, because I always have a lot of stuff with me. And most of you have seen most of it. You know what I'm going to bring out here. For 38 years, I have used these little hearts as a demonstration. There's new people here today. And for me, it never gets old. For children and adults alike, all you have to do to get ready for heaven, to start this journey of climbing the mountain of life with Jesus, is to bring him your heart. He only wants one thing from you, your heart. It's the only thing he collects. Some people collect knives. Some people collect toys. Some people collect Legos. But Jesus only collects one thing. And so when the music plays here in a few minutes, and I ask you to come forward, those of you that want to give Jesus your heart, you want to start this journey, you want to rededicate your life, you come to the front and you bring something you already have, your heart. And in that moment that you lift your hands and you pray a simple prayer, people say, I don't know how to pray. Just pray a simple prayer. A little child can pray this prayer. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I want to walk with you. I want to make a life change. I want to be ready for heaven. However you want to word that. And you bring your heart. In that few moments, Jesus is so ready. He's watching. He's waiting for you to do that. And in that moment, you give him permission to go into your heart. He's a perfect gentleman. He won't go in there until you invite him. That's why you must use your voice. You must pray. Because that's how he knows you want him in there. The moment you do that, you're going to realize any fear you had about doing it was misplaced fear, because he's not like other people. Often we think, oh, well, he knows everything I've done and he's going to be so mad at me and I'm not good enough, or Jesus doesn't want me. Some people in the altar through the years have said those words to me, because the enemy doesn't want you to walk with Jesus. In that moment that you say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. He doesn't even look in there. Oh, no. Because our hearts look like this from the moment we're born. We're born in sin. We're born with a dirty heart. We just add stuff to it. In that moment, Jesus, I'm sorry, please forgive me. With one sweep of his hand, he cleans out your heart. And it feels so good to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Step number one, repent. Repent means to turn away from. I'm not going to do those things anymore. That made a big mess up here. It's a big mess on the platform. We'll have to clean it up later. But I want these young people, these children, to see this mess. That's what sin does. It makes a mess. Sin will ruin your life. It will. But see, step number two takes care of that. You repent, and then you ask the pastor or someone around you that attends here, you say, I'm ready to be baptized in the only way anybody was ever baptized in the Bible. In Jesus' name, going under the water. You say, well, I was already baptized once. I'm not sure what they said. You need to be rebaptized. You need to hear them say, in Jesus' name. The only way anybody was baptized in this Bible was in Jesus' name, going down and back up quickly. Sometimes people were just afraid because their hair will get messed up. We have hair dryers. Your clothes won't get wet. We have robes. Every excuse you have, let me take it away today. Just do it. Jesus is coming. You got to be ready. And you won't be ready if you haven't obeyed the word. It won't be any easier than it's going to be today. No one ever drowned being baptized. In Jesus' name. And then, either before you're baptized or after, it doesn't matter. You're going to lift your hands and you're going to say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you forgave me. Thank you for cleaning out my heart. Thank you for forgiving me. And in that moment, he's going to say, well, I got something more for you. You don't have to ask or beg. You just have to want it. And the Bible says he takes away this old stony heart. He takes that one away. And he gives you a brand new heart. In that moment, while you're thanking him, your hands are raised, Jesus says, oh, this is the moment to give you the gift. The Bible calls it the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift is from Jesus. He went to the cross to buy you this gift. It would be a horrible thing if you got up and walked out and went to your car and went to dinner and you left Jesus standing up here saying, wait a minute, I bought you a gift. I want to give you this gift. Don't go yet. Happens every week because there are people that go the other way instead of coming up here to get their gift. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. You didn't have to earn it. Oh, no. He went to the cross and it cost him his life to buy you this gift of a brand new heart, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in that moment, Jesus gives you that brand new heart. Remember, he took away the old stony heart, the hard heart. He gave you the new heart. But he wants you to know he gave it to you. So there's evidence, the Bible says. There's going to be a sign. You're not just going to walk out and shake hands with the preacher. And he says, well, welcome. You're a member here now. And you don't know that anything really happened. Oh, no. This is not about religion. This is relationship. You've come to a church that is all about relationship with Jesus. And I'm telling you where it begins. He gives you this heart, and he wants you to know you got it. So he fills you all the way up to here. And he doesn't stop here. He keeps filling and filling until the Holy Ghost gets right here. When it gets right here, you open your mouth and you have evidence, because there are words that come to your mind in another language. It's called speaking with other tongues. I was praying for a little boy one day, and I said, go ahead and speak in tongues. And he stopped, and he grabbed his mouth, and he said, I don't want a lot of tongues. I just only want the one I've got. So that's why you heard me say, you'll speak words, syllables in another language. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. No, you don't. That's how you'll know it's supernatural. And all you've got to do is trust him. And guess what? You can't do it wrong. I was one of those kids, everything I did all my life was go remake your bed, wash your face. There's still dirt behind your ears. Go pick that up. Go do that over. Do that test over. Everything all my life. When I was 9 years old and Jesus gave me this brand new heart, the gift of the Holy Ghost, I realized this is one thing I can't do wrong. I've been doing it ever since. Hallelujah. It gets sweeter every day. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus wants to give you the gift today. That's what he wants to do. And what most people don't know this part that I'm going to tell you. They don't even realize this happens. See, when you've done those three things, you repent, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you speak words in another language. On that morning, that night, that day, Jesus puts the rope in your hand. This pulpit has just become a mountain. And you see, we're climbing this mountain of life with Jesus. We have begun our journey. And the other end of the rope is at the top of the mountain in heaven. And Jesus has a hold of that end. He'll never, ever let go of his end. So you have to decide, when you do those three steps, you have to decide, I'm going to walk with the Lord. And you grab a hold of that end. When your hand is raised and you're speaking with tongues, you don't realize, people don't know this, but he puts the rope in your hand in that moment. You have begun your journey. Those of you that have been walking with the Lord for a while, you can attest to the fact that he's never let go of his end. And his goal is to get you to the top of the mountain where heaven is. Years ago, I was such an overachiever. I had a mountain, an 8-foot mountain I carried with me. It was so heavy, I could hardly carry it. I'd have to have people help me get it in and out of the van. And that mountain had a shelf on the back. It was painted elaborately, and it had a shelf on the back. And I would go to the nearest place that I could get dry ice. And I had a pan on that shelf with that dry ice, and it looked like the fog on the top of the mountain. It looked like heaven. Could you picture that this morning? Because I'm not an overachiever anymore. And I got tired of being burned on dry ice. Heaven's at the top. We want to make it to heaven, but we're not going because we're good. We're not going because our parents are going. We're not going because we pay our tithes, even though you should. We're not going because we're faithful to church, even because you should. But we're going because we followed the word of the Lord. We're following because we're saved. We're ready. We got the rope in our hand, and we've made a life change. We have decided to walk with the Lord. That's why we're going. You're not going just because you come to church. Now, some people don't want to get a hold of that rope because they say, wait a minute, if I do that, that's not how my grandma did it. And I don't even want to think about maybe grandma didn't do it the right thing way because she's gone. Hey, don't let the devil use that tricky tool on you. You leave grandma and everybody else in the hands of a just and loving God. And you say, I got to do what the word said today. Give heed to the words that have been spoken. I've got to obey the word for myself because I'm accountable because I know what I need to do. Today's the day of salvation. And so while you're walking with the Lord, it is important that you remember we're looking up. We're going up. Doesn't matter what's happening all around us down at the bottom of the mountain. I'm certainly not going to stay in the news to find out what they're doing down there because I'm looking up. I'm climbing higher every day. I want to be able to say that I'm praying more now than I did a year ago. I'm reading my Bible more now than I did a year ago because I'm climbing higher. This is a walk, a journey with the Lord. And so we have to be careful because remember I read to you that the path is narrow. Young people, the path is narrow. You don't get off to the right. You don't get off to the left. You stay on the narrow pathway. There is a wide path. Every once in a while you come to a crossroads on that mountain and there'll be a wide path and everything looks green and there's babbling brooks and you say, well, why would I go up this steep rocky path in front of me that's so narrow when I could have all that over there? It's a trick of the enemy. That's when you remember the scripture. You remember what you've been taught. You keep your hand on that rope and you say, I know that life is this way. Sometimes it's rough and rocky, but it's for my good. The Lord's getting me ready for heaven. The Lord's given me a testimony. When I come out from this battle, I'm going to help lots of other people get their hand on the rope. Amen. You're kind of quiet today. You still love me? I got to show you what else that the Lord gives you. I'm trying not to play the tambourine while I'm in here. Because there's one in there. See, people don't realize. They get this too. They get a backpack. Just in case you wondered, I borrowed this from Jessica. You get a backpack. The Bible says his load is light. Just little tiny things in there. He wants you to have your compass. That's your Bible. That's in there so that you can check the word with every step you make. So you stay in the word. It's got a canteen in there because you're going to need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to have enough Holy Ghost that first drink you get to last you on the climb. Those of you who haven't talked in tongues for years, you need to get to the altar today and get a big drink from the canteen. Fill up again. Because we'll get tired. We'll get parched on the journey. Just a few little things in there. Oh, yeah, there's binoculars, spiritual vision. Three little things so that you can look in front of you and know, try the spirits. Is this God or not? Is this preacher telling the truth or not? Be careful all the voices you listen to. Be careful of all the podcasts and all the stuff that pops up. Be careful because if you're not looking through spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, you might listen to the wrong voice and go down the wrong path. Just a light load, very light. His load is light. And so you're walking on that path and you've got your brand new heart and you got the rope in your hand and you're walking on that narrow path. Don't think that the devil's going to leave you alone. You know, the devil was kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels. They're not sitting around frying hamburgers waiting on hell. They're busy. And they're not at the beer joints, and they're not in the crack houses, and they're not in churches that don't have truth. The devils are after people who believe truth. They want to stop your message. They want to get you off the mountain. And so some of you are struggling right now because you're walking on your path and you got your little light backpack on, and this really is light, and you're walking down that narrow path, and don't you love it? This is not real. This is not real. First time I pulled this out over 30 years ago, I got so excited I threw it into the congregation. True story. It landed in an 84-year-old woman's lap, and she was asleep until it landed. They didn't have to call an ambulance, but they almost did. They had to stop the service and have prayer for her. That church never invited me back. The devil. He was a serpent in the Garden of Eden. The old devil. We could represent him all different ways. He's really a beautiful angel that was kicked out of heaven. He has a costume room. He wears costumes. And so there we are, walking on our narrow pathway. Everything is going great. And we've got our backpack. We're drinking from the canteen. We're checking the compass. We're watching through spiritual eyes. And we come upon something in the narrow pathway. Our toe hits it because we're looking up. We're climbing. And our toe hits something. And we look down. And lo and behold, there's something laying across our path. We've learned we can't run to the left or to the right. We can't go off on another pathway. Oh, no. So what do we do? A lot of people, the moment their toe hits that temptation, they turn around and they say, "Ah! It's the devil!" And they scream and run the other way. Down the mountain. So you don't be alarmed when temptation comes, when trial comes, affliction comes, when something's across your path. Oh no, because he had to get permission to go there in the first place. I'm helping somebody today. He can't just come into your life. You're a child of God and just do whatever he wants. Oh, no, he had permission. The Lord knew you'd come out of it all right. The Lord knew he would be with you, that he'd never leave you or forsake you. So you're walking along and your toe hits something. I'm telling you the way people respond. And then you have people who say, "It's the devil. You come here. You come here, devil. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You get out of my life. You don't come here anymore. You don't lay across my path. I'm climbing higher, and I rebuke you. I'm sick and tired." Why would I spend that kind of time? Why would I pick him up? Why would I see devils around every corner and bind devils everywhere I go and worry about the devil? I get tired of hearing about the devil. The Bible wasn't written about the devil. It was written about Jesus. When you've got that Holy Ghost down in your heart and you go walking in a room, the devil say, "Wow, get out of the way. Here he comes." About three of you believe that. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got the same power that Jesus Christ used and operated in here on earth. The Holy Ghost in you gives you power. That's Bible. And when you go walking in anywhere, you say, "Well, the devils get all stirred up." Sure they do. They don't know what you're going to do next. They're more afraid of you than you are them. So no, I'm not going to spend all my time binding devils. I'm not going to spend all my time thinking about the devil and worrying about where he is and what he's doing. No, for one thing, there's only one of him, and I'm not that important. He has some little demons. that'll lay across the path. And so what I have learned, mostly the hard way, I'm climbing this mountain. I'm looking up. I got that little backpack on my back. I'm walking with the Lord. I go through hard things, but Jesus is there. And I'm just climbing higher because I want to get to heaven. And so here I am on this narrow path, and my toe hits something. I'm pretty familiar with what it is by now. Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, did you feel that in the Holy Ghost? I'd do that again. Get thee behind me, Satan, and keep on climbing. Hallelujah. It's really that simple. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't go back down into the world. When temptation comes, when problems come and they're across your path, you have authority. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So my resisting him is stepping over and walking right on. And you know what happens? He lays there. He can't get up. He can't get up. He lays there sometimes for days, sometimes weeks. And every little bit he says, like the kid who's in timeout. Can I get up now, Jesus? Can I get up now? I love that. Can I get up, Jesus? And Jesus, no, lay there. No, you stay right there. Leave her alone. Isn't that cool? I'm telling you how to walk with Jesus. Get that rope in your hand. Go higher every day. Carry that little light load and just keep climbing. We've almost made it. We're almost home. We're almost at the top of the mountain. Jesus is coming. We're going to live all eternity without any more pain, no more cancer, no more disease, no more death. We're going to live eternally with our Savior. Get ready. He's coming. He could come before midnight tonight. Would you be ready? Ask yourself, would I be ready? And so we don't want to let go of that rope. We want to keep climbing. You see, there is a day that is appointed for us to die. And after that, the Bible says the judgment. So you're either going to go by way of the grave, or you're going to go up when Jesus comes. We all want to go up when he comes. Nobody wants to die. But what a promise that when we do, we live eternally. The grave has no sting. So we keep right on climbing. We keep the rope in our hand. And we climb higher and higher. And we almost make the top. But unfortunately, some people have their backpack and they are climbing and they get their eyes on another pathway and they decide, I'm going to let go of the rope. We all know people who have let go of the rope. They let go and they take their backpack because it's yours for all eternity. The Lord does not take it away from you. And you take your little light load that's so easy to carry, and you go down into the world, and you let go of the rope. Your rope is still there, just waiting for you, still there. But you make the choice, I'm not going to serve the Lord. I want to go back into the world and I want to do worldly things. And you take your backpack. And so you have your fun, what you think is going to be so fun. And you fill that void with maybe bars and alcohol and drugs and all kinds of other things that you just wanted to do. And you couldn't do them here because you felt guilty every time you came. And what you didn't realize, it wasn't guilt comes from the devil. It wasn't guilt, it was conviction. Because when you come to church and you're not doing right, the Lord gently says, come to me, come to me. Let me forgive you. Let me get the rope in your hand. Gentle conviction. But you get miserable. So you don't want any more of that conviction. And you go out in the world, and there you are in the world doing all the things you want, and nothing ever fills the void. And you wake up in the morning and don't remember where you've been, and you get in trouble with the law, and you're afraid every time the phone rings, and you have all kinds of relationships, and none of them fulfill you, and you have all this brokenness and all these things. And you said, man, I got to go back to Calvary Gospel. I got to get that rope back in my hand. What was I thinking? And so you come, and guess what? The legacy lives on. Everybody's still here. They're still worshiping. They're still faithful. They still have the rope on in their hand. And you come, and you're sitting back in the seat. And when that music plays, nobody has to ask you then. You come running. And you fall on your face on this altar, and you feel so dirty, and you feel so bad. But the people of God gather around you, and they're rejoicing and praying with you because they love you. And you realize, this was my family. And you're in that altar with your hands raised and the tears rolling, and you ask Jesus to forgive you. And guess what? He gives you a big, big drink of the Holy Ghost because you're parched from being in the world. You get what we call a refilling. You speak with tongues. It was there all the time. He never took it away. He never took his gift back. It was there. And you spoke in tongues. And guess what happened? You got the rope back in your hand. He put the rope right back in your hand. You start climbing again. Oh, you feel so great. You know, you go out to eat after church with people because that's what we do. We worship and eat. You go out to eat and you fellowship, and you feel a little weird because you don't really fit in yet like you did before. But people are so kind, and you know you will. And so there you are. You feel so good. And that night when you go home, you sleep like a baby because now you're free from sin. You're forgiven. You're ready for heaven. You got the rope in your hand. And then the next morning you get up and you look around. Wait a minute. Wait. Lord, when I left, I was sitting on the front row, and remember how I used to worship, remember, Lord? And they had asked me to help with Sunday school, and I was helping. Remember, I was praise singing, and I played an instrument, Lord. Remember that? And remember, Lord, I was way up here in my climb. So you must have forgot all that, Lord. And the Lord said, no, I didn't. But just so you don't think, because the Lord will take you back so easy, that it's okay to let go of the rope, what happens is you start back at the bottom again. Every temptation you passed, you have to pass it again. Everything you went through, you have to prove again. I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk with the Lord. It's a serious thing to backslide down the mountain. This thing's almost over. Jesus is coming. Don't let go of the rope. You hear me, young people? Don't let go of the rope. Hold on with all your might. Oh, and then remember the backpack. He says, well, I got to get to work. Okay, Lord, I can do that. I can climb. I'll just climb real fast. I'll just climb real fast, but now I got to go to work. And he goes to pick up his backpack. Remember how light it was? Lord, you forgot something at church last night when I prayed through. You forgot to clean out my backpack. And the Lord said, no. Those are all the things you picked up. The memories. The brokenness. The scars. All the sin and the things that sin involves, you pick that up and put it in your backpack. Now you have to carry it. And so he can barely put it up on his shoulder because the load's not light anymore. It's serious to backslide down the mountain. And so he makes up his mind, I've got the rope in my hand, and I'm going to carry this because I did this. You know, we have to take ownership of what we do. We can't constantly blame everybody else. There comes a time you say, I did this. Lord, I'm sorry because I did this. And in that moment, what happens is you get so strong as you start climbing that mountain that that backpack once again becomes very light, and it's as if you never picked anything up, because the Lord takes the memories away. He makes it as if it happened to somebody else. He gives you spiritual muscles so you can keep climbing, and it's as if those things never happened. That's what Jesus does. Get the rope in your hand today. Make up your mind. This thing grabbed me, Jessica. It's got hooks on it. Make up your mind. I am going to get the rope in my hand. I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to climb higher. I'm going to get to the top of the mountain. Will someone come to the keyboard? Give these precious people hope. And so here's this rope. This rope is a very serious thing. Because Jesus has one end on the top of the mountain, and we have the other end. But a mountain climber does not just climb the mountain. He climbs the rope. Let that soak in. He climbs the rope. That's what it's there for. So as I'm climbing the mountain of life and the top is up in the hand of Jesus, my goal is to climb higher until he takes me home. Is there anybody in this building that I was with you when you received the Holy Ghost? Anybody in this building that I was with you? I've been coming here for over 25 years, I think it is, 24. I want you to stand. I want to see your faces. If I was with you when you got the Holy Ghost. I just did my little part. Prayers were prayed. Seeds were sown. This church plants, waters. God gives the increase. But here you are. You're climbing the rope. But you see, I have a hold of my part of the rope, and I'm climbing higher. But then one day you got on the rope. Okay. And then one day she prayed with somebody, and you climb higher. You climb higher. And she got on the rope. And then she climbed a little higher, and she prayed with somebody. And you see that? Now, what if you see me on Facebook? And I don't look like I look. And I'm putting bad words on there. And I'm going places that Christians don't go. And I'm not living for God. After all these years, you would say, what in the world? My own children that are here, my own grandchildren. As hard as the climb gets, I can't let go of the rope. I have people depending on me. You have people depending on you. If you don't walk to this front and receive the Holy Ghost, those children you have and grandchildren may never receive it. They're depending on you to make that start, to pray those prayers for them. Would you all stand? Keep the rope in your hand. Hold on to the rope. Don't let go. Hold on. You don't know where you are on the mountain. We have all experienced hard things in life where someone we loved suddenly was at the top of the mountain. We got one phone call and it was over. We don't know where we are on the mountain of life. And just a couple weeks ago, I got a text when I left the church that I preached a version of this message. But I couldn't let go of that thought. I hammered that thought, Pastor Peter, of you don't know where you are on the mountain. I told stories. I could not get away from it. I apologized because I just kept weeping and staying on that point of what if you are at the top and you don't know it? What if it's your last opportunity? The young people came and they wept and they cried. And one young man got out and got in his car and left. He didn't come forward. And I got the text. He had a horrible incident on the way home. This is serious. I know it's Sunday morning. You know, the Bible says saving some by fear. Some people, it just takes them really thinking about what could be. And then I have the story of my little mama. You've heard it before, most of you. Who kept that rope in her little tiny hand and prayed and fasted, was in church from 19 to 90. And she was at the top of the mountain, and we knew it. The Lord let us know she's right there. And as hard as it was that morning at 4 o'clock in the morning when I went to the nursing home and she was sitting up on the side of the bed. She was little tiny, 80 pounds and hadn't sat up for weeks, but she was sitting up. The Lord had awakened me and said, go to the nursing home. And when I walked in, I thought, I'm here so she won't fall. The Lord woke me up so that she won't fall. And so I take her little shoulders and I push her back, Sister Martha, and I say, Mama, lay down. You can't get up. She was pulling the sheets off and she was just in a frenzy. And I said, Mama, you can't get up. Your great-grandmother, Bella. And she said, looking at the top of the mountain, big, big smile on her face. And she said, please let me go. He's come to get me. I looked real quick. I looked at the top of the mountain. I couldn't see anything but the ceiling because it wasn't my turn. But God gave me that glimpse of what it looks like when you keep the rope in your hand. Because she went out smiling. He's come to get me. Let me go. I said, Mama, you go on and go be with Jesus. She said, and laid back peacefully. Don't miss heaven. Those of you who have never spoken with other tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. You don't have the rope in your hand. Would you please come out and line up right here so I know who you are? It's going to be so easy. I'm going to speak a word of faith, and the Holy Ghost is just going to come on you. And you're going to say those strange words. You're not going to be afraid. We've got several children that want the Holy Ghost, but we've got adults that need the Holy Ghost. If you're sitting near someone, thank you for coming. Someone that you know they need the Holy Ghost, offer to walk up with them. Bring them up. Come on. I'm waiting because there's adults that need to come. I see the war going on right now for your soul. I see the tug of war in your spirit. Don't go out of here without the Holy Ghost. Anybody over here? Come on. Middle section. My altar workers, worshipers, and frontliners and intercessors, you know who you are. You need to get in position right now. One long line. Let's make one long line, okay? Up here, look at me. Make one long line across the front so you're not touching anybody else. Did you bring her? Do you need the Holy Ghost too? All right. You want the Holy Ghost? You want the Holy Ghost? All right. Look at all the people who are coming. Eyes appear at me. I bind confusion and distraction. Eyes appear at me. Look at me. I'm going to lead you through four easy steps. Okay? We're going to do these 1, 2, 3, 4. When we get to the fourth step, that's when you use your voice. That's when you do step number one. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. You repent. However is comfortable for you, ask Jesus to clean out your heart. You might cry. Big, strong men, grown-up ladies cry often when they pray. Don't hold back your tears. That's not a sign of weakness. The Bible says He collects our tears. Your children need to see your tears. It's okay to cry. Let those tears roll down your cheeks. And then what will happen is the Holy Ghost will come upon you. It will fill you up like I showed you, all the way up to here. When it gets here, all you have to do is move your mouth. People are not going to come and touch you all over the place. That won't happen here. They're not going to rock you, hold your arms up, get in your face. It's not going to happen. You will be talking in tongues before anybody gets to you. So don't be afraid. If you are a little afraid and you need a Holy Ghost coach, what will happen, they might tell you before they do it that they're going to touch you on the head. When they touch you, you will speak with tongues if you haven't already. Okay? Now, Calvary Gospel, don't check out on me. You know what we're doing here. All of those of you that have the Holy Ghost, you stretch your hand out toward the front. Don't pray until we get to the last step, but stretch your hands out. And step number one, close your eyes. Everybody in the building, shut out everything around you. Your friend, the person next to you, your spouse, everybody. Shut out everything around you. You're doing so good. Why? Because I'm getting Jesus on my mind. You can't look around and think about Jesus. I want you to picture Him on that cross buying your salvation. The nails in His hands and in His feet. They whipped Him and whipped Him. The Bible said He didn't even look like a man. He did that to buy your salvation. I want you to think of Calvary right now. That's it. Let the tears roll. That's it. That's it. The next step is to lift your face, because the devil wants you to be ashamed of what's in your heart. He wants you to hang your head down. I want you to lift your face, even if it's just a little, so Jesus can look right in that beautiful, handsome face He made and into your heart. You're doing so good. Everyone that needs a refilling is going to get a refilling today. That's why I urge you, if you're in the seats, do these with me. Eyes closed. Face raised. Third step is to lift your hands. Don't touch your neighbor, children. Just raise your hands where you're comfortable. If it's just a little bit, that's okay. But what you're doing, you're saying, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." You're inviting Him. And He's a perfect gentleman. That's why we use our voice. We lift our hands. We're saying, "Here I am, Lord. I need You." Now, the last step, they're going to begin to play and sing, so you won't feel strange letting your voice out. The whole church is going to begin to pray, speak with tongues. We need some intercessors back there talking in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is getting ready to fall. Open your mouth and begin to repent. "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me." Come on, use your voice. "I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me, Jesus. I want to make heaven. I want to get the rope in my hand today, Lord. I'm so sorry for the bad things I've done." Come on, open your mouth and talk to Him. That's it. He loves you. He loves you. Children, talk to Jesus. "You're doing so good. I love You, Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins." Oh, that's it. The Holy Ghost is beginning to move. It's already moving across this altar. It's moving across the building. Go ahead and talk in tongues in your pew. Come on. The Spirit knows how it ought to pray right now. Oh, yes. There's the Holy Ghost. I see it. Come on. The Holy Ghost. Jack, the Holy Ghost is on you right now. Go ahead and talk in tongues. Move your mouth. That's it. I see the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, talk in tongues. It's already there.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.